libertad, 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 libertad.
This is John Figliozzi of Clifton Park, New York. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This is our show for Sunday, May the 16th, 2021. We thank you for joining us. My name's Sheldon, and Jill is with me as usual for our half hour of news and information from the world of radio. If you'd like to reach us, you can send us an email, radioreport@yahoo.com. That's radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming on the CKUT website, ckut.ca, and we have a Facebook group with 605 members right now. It is called International Radio Report, and we welcome Bobby as a new member this week. And finally, we have our YouTube channel where you can go and check out the show anytime you like, including past shows. Just simply look for International Radio Report on YouTube. So youtube.com/International Radio Report, and you'll find us. Each week's show is usually up on the site within an hour or so after the show airs on the radio at CKUT. So this is one of those weeks. We get them every once in a while where there's not a lot of news stories going on. As we're heading into the summer shortly, that's usually a bit of a more quiet period in the world of radio. But we dig around, we find some stuff, and we do appreciate if you send along anything yourselves. You can either do it by email or put it up on our Facebook page. And sometimes when we have nothing to talk about, we'll use your stories to help us fill in our half hour. So we'll get started right away with a local story. And this comes to us directly from the CRTC, the Canadian Radio Television and Telecommunications Commission in Canada, which controls the licensing of radio stations in Canada. And it involves a native radio station in the Montreal region. The CRTC decision on CKHQ 101.7 FM, which is located in the Mohawk Reserve of Gunasatage, which is part of Oka in the west end of the island of Laval, a little bit north of Montreal. Mohawk Multimedia, or MMM as they call themselves, filed an application to acquire the assets of the low-powered English and Mohawk language indigenous Type B native radio station, CKHQ-FM, in Gunasatage, from CKHQ United Voices Radio. MMM also requested a new broadcasting license to continue the operation of the undertaking under the same terms and conditions of license as those in effect under the current license. The Commission approves the application by Mohawk Multimedia for authority to acquire the assets of the low-powered English Mohawk language Indigenous radio program undertaking and to obtain a new broadcast license. Upon surrender of the current license, the Commission will issue a new broadcasting license to the new company, MMM. The new license will expire on the 31st of August, 2022, so it's a short-term license, the same expiry as the current license. The terms and conditions of license for the undertaking are set out in the appendix to the decision. The Commission will assess MMM's overall compliance with its regulatory obligations and conditions of license with their next license renewal. They will be held responsible for any noncompliance relating to the filing of annual returns and the implementation of the NPAS that may have occurred since April 2nd, 2020. Conditions of license to this effect are set out in the appendix as well. So as we said, the license will expire on the 31st of August, 2022. The station will operate at 101.7 FM. And it was with an affected radiated power of just 30 watts and an effective height of the antenna above average terrain of just 30 meters. The Department of Industry's BPR3 application procedure and rules for FM broadcasting undertakings specifies that a low-powered FM station is considered a secondary assignment operating on an unprotected channel. Should an FM station or transmitter with protected status be granted a frequency incompatible with that used by the low power station considered in this decision, the applicant may need to cease the operation of that low power station or file an application to change its frequency and or its technical parameters. So this happens with low powered stations. They do assign them a frequency, but with a small coverage area, a small footprint, and that way they can put other low-powered stations or other types of stations on the same frequency. But stations like this CKHQ have second-level status, so they could possibly be bumped if something should be assigned to that frequency that has higher priority than them. So this is a station that's gone through a lot of changes over the year. It was over the years. It's been off the air for extended periods of time. It comes back for a while, goes off again. Its transmitter and equipment was in very, very bad shape for quite some time. I think they did some overhauls to it. The current owners, and now the new owners will hopefully get it up and running in full service again. They do have to abide by certain regulations for a native station. They do have to have a certain amount of Mohawk language programming in addition to English language programming. So there's no word on exactly, you know, how this is all going to fall into place, what we might be hearing on the station. You do have to be pretty close to it to be able to hear it. So it's really exists to cover the Mohawk community in Ganasatage. I'm sure the people there will be happy to see that things are sort of getting back on their feet again with the station. And we'll keep you up to date as to what they might be doing in the way of new programming or better coverage with new equipment or what have you. So that's the first we've heard of that station for quite some time. A lot of people may not even know that there was a station there. So we thought we'd fill you in on that.
Makes me think of how many of those stations exist around the province here. I wonder how many low-powered stations exist. And, you know, it could be sad, though, the fact that there's no official assignments of a frequency for low-powered stations that, you know, if something happens, if a station would come through and could be in, you know, close enough, they'd have to stop operations. I thought there would be better management of low-power station frequencies that, you know, they, as long as they operate on that frequency, they can stay in operation. It's kind of weird.
They seem to control it, I think, by the coverage area. Okay. And by the affected radiated power of the signal. If they can contain it in a reasonable area, they could try and put. I'm sure there's other stations not that far away from them that are on 101.7. I didn't take the time to go and check to see, you know, what might be the closest station to them. But I'm sure they'll certainly be able to cover the community with that station. Yeah. Let's hope they have good success with it, getting it back on the air again and serving their community.
So there's a story about radio frequency interference and the amateur radio. There's a RFI seminar that's going to happen. This is via the Southgate Amateur Radio News. The ARRL Laboratory manager Ed Hare, W1RFI, will be giving a talk on Zoom on Wednesday, May 19th at 20 hours UTC. That's 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. electromagnetic interference is a problem that affects hams and their neighbors alike. Ed Hare, W1RFI, ARRL laboratory manager, and one of the editors of the ARRL RFI book, has put together this 30-minute slide presentation to give an overview of politics, personalities, and technical issues involving EMI control. His presentation outlines the standard causes and cures for interference. The questions and answer session that follow the format slide presentation turns this into a real RFI workshop. The IEEE EMC Society presentation will be conducted on Zoom. The link will be posted on the web closer to the meeting date. So there's a website that you can go to. It is an interesting seminar. We have so much interference now around us every day that I think anybody that deals with radio frequency interference should be taking a look at this because you might learn a lot. You know, we were talking just before we were recording how just hear the noise that I have and placing a loop in a different position, I have more noise and less signals, and RFI is all over the place. And, you know, sometimes there's nothing you can do, but sometimes there are cures, there are things you can try that will lower that noise level.
Yeah, I think I know the ARRL's RFI book is a very popular book that they've published and written by the gentleman who's going to be giving the presentation, the seminar. So again, it's coming up on Wednesday, May the 19th, 20 hours UTC or GMT, 4 p.m. Eastern time. And it will be on Zoom. We will, as Jill said, post the link for you. I don't know if you have to pre-register. It's possible. You can check it out once probably. You have the link. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people. And it's not just for hams. Listeners, we get a lot of interference us as well. So you might pick up some good tips here. I'm sure it'll be a popular presentation. They might, I wouldn't be surprised if they make it available afterwards, maybe online somewhere.
That'd be nice.
So if you can't catch it live on Wednesday, you might be able to find it later on. So check our Facebook page. We'll put the link up there for you.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of stuff happening with the sun and some geomagnetic storm activity that happened this week. So we started with a CME, a coronal mass ejection, that actually impacted the early hours of May 12th. The storm cloud struck approximately at 0630 UT, and the geomagnetic storm that followed at its peak was registered G3 on a scale of 1 to 5 from the NOAA storm scales. It makes it the strongest geomagnetic storm of the Young Solar Cycle 25. And the peak of the storm spanned from 12 to 18 UTC, mostly daylight hours in Europe and North America. But some auroras were sighted on the western part of North America where it was still dark. So that created a big problem for radio listeners. I saw many posts on the Facebook group saying, is it just me or there's kind of nothing out there right now? You know, sometimes it enhances certain signals. So it's still interesting to take a listen because signals you might not hear very often could be stronger. It subsided the next day, and it's presently pretty quiet as we are recording the show. But that said, there is still some possibility of another coronal mass ejection. We have a sunspot, AR2822, that right now is actually capable of doing maybe M-class solar flares. So these are getting bigger. M-class solar flares are medium strength, but it's still pretty strong. And there could be a lot of stuff happening still in the week to come in with the sun and the geomagnetic field. But there is a coronal mass ejection that billowed away from the sunspot AR2822 on May 13th. And they are expecting that it could actually deliver a glancing blow to Earth's magnetic field on May 18th. So this could spark more auroras. As for the solar flux hovering around 75, there are two sunspots groups on the sun. There's also a coronal hole that might actually create some geomagnetic disturbances on May 18th or 19th. So I think the best thing to do is to take a peek at a website called spaceweather.com, which is really a nice place where you'll see everything happening, latest news on, you know, the impacts of any CMEs coming and any solar flares, and, you know, keep up to date on the solar activity. But whatever you do, the best thing is to turn on the radio and listen.
This is Glenn Hauser. You're listening to the International Radio Report. 30 minutes of radio news and information every Sunday morning on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
I noticed that there were reports of aurora borealis quite deep into the United States as a result of these latest storms.
Yep.
So that's also something that can wreak havoc a little bit with the bands. Often the medium wave guys get really excited about these conditions because it does tend to create some auroral conditions that can cause skip signals. You may be picking up deep south, or if you're up in the northern part of North America, you might be getting South American, Central American stations, that sort of thing coming in. So it's always fun to check, you know, where one thing disappears, something else might pop up. So
I've noticed a lot of north-south enhanced propagation when that happens. I remember one of the times that there was a geomagnetic storm going. I couldn't hear almost anything from Europe. The east-west paths were almost zero propagation. But all the South American, especially those Brazilian low-powered stations on shortwave, they were all super strong, stronger than usual. It was really, really interesting because all of these signals were better. Also, there's VHF with auroras. Like, you know, the K index reached 7 at one point. That means that the activity was pretty strong. And sometimes when auroras appear, there's also all sorts of phenomena like VHF scatter that happens, and that actually enhances propagation from long distances, like on the 2 meter band, amateur radio band, for example. It doesn't mean when there's geomagnetic storms going on that you know, you shouldn't listen to the radio. Actually, you should, because you never know what could pop up and from where with all the interesting propagation conditions that go on.
Now, one thing that you can continue to talk about feeding off of that,
yes,
is trying it out with a new radio. And I think,
yes,
you've been playing around with something new.
Yes, absolutely. So I've got, thanks to a fan of my live shows and my YouTube channel, Kevin Napolo, he sent me a Sangian ATS-909X2. This is a brand new shortwave radio from Sangian. Sangian is a well-known brand in shortwave radios for a long time. And it's actually the third version of a radio that is quite popular. It started with the original ATS-909, which was also known as the Radio Shack DX-398 back then. I have the original I had purchased back then. And then they made a upgraded version, which was the ATS-909X. And the main feature that you see from the start on the new version was the aesthetics. Very beautiful radio. And of course, now they decided to do the 909X2. Very beautiful radio. Once again, one of the most beautiful radios I own. But is it good? Is it, how does it perform? I've been using it now for a couple of weeks, and I have pretty good idea of what its performance all about now. What's in the box, first of all? You've got, of course, the radio, which is a AM, FM, long wave, short wave, general coverage, has the air band. It has a vinyl case that comes with it. They include the ANT60 reel-in antenna that Sangian actually makes, and some earbuds. The first thing that you'll notice when you actually want to use it for the first time is when you insert the batteries, usually the batteries, it uses four AA batteries. They kind of, you add the batteries, but the batteries are like bump into each other from the positive to negative side. In this one, each battery has its own little slot that goes in, because they have like a circuit that verifies each battery independently when it charges. And the radio can actually tell you, if you use rechargeable batteries, which one is failing. If there is one of them, there's no good. So it's a very unique, more advanced charging circuit. Kind of interesting to see that. What's the difference between the 909X2 and the 909X? Well, the display, first of all, the display size itself is the same. But at the bottom of the 909X, there was a little plastic plate with the meter band written on it. They removed that part, and instead, that means they extended the LCD display through that little space. So there's a little more information displayed on that display, and it's a beautiful display. We got to say that the Sanjian 909X and 909X2 both have beautiful LCD displays. By the way, the radio comes also with a power supply that is extra quiet, and that is really nice because using power supplies in general with the portable radios is not a good idea because you bring in a lot of noise and often want to operate off the batteries instead. But this power supply is so quiet that you could actually plug in your radio and use it perfectly. There's no noise that's induced. Really, really a good power supply for that. One of the differences also with the X and X2 is that there's the airband. The X version does not. So they added the capability to listen to your local airports, for example, on the VHF airband. There's more precise tuning. So the 909X and the original 909 tune to a precision of 40 Hertz steps. Sometimes that gives a little bit of an off beat to the voices on single sideband because you're a little off. The precision in the 909X2 is 10 Hertz. So it's more precise and gets you better listening of single sideband signals. And there are several AM bandwidths available, which was not available before on the older versions. It was a switch, like a narrow wide switch for the bandwidth. Here, because they use a DSP chip, there's actually bandwidths that you can switch from on the radio. And that is a nice addition. There's one negative side to it. I have no idea why they didn't do that on single sideband. Single sideband, you're stuck with one bandwidth. And for the price that it is sold, that is one of the things where I'm not super happy with it, because you might want to have smaller bandwidths, especially on SSB, to go and fetch that signal that sometimes on the amateur band when there's too many stations together. You want to get that little signal in the middle of two stations. Well, having bandwidths that you can actually use are really, really nice. And there's no bandwidth for a single sideband. Why did they design that like that? I don't know. They have them for AM, not for SSB. The radio itself is very sensitive. Medium wave and long wave and short wave sensitivity is good. There's one problem that I've noted, and it has to do when using the telescopic antenna. Here, it's a tough environment for radios because I have a lot of FM, strong FM stations. There's FM radio station breakthrough on shortwave. And one example, I posted a video on the channel. I compare it with the Texan PL990X, which is roughly the same price range. Voice of Turkey 9830, almost impossible to listen to because the FM breakthrough is too strong. But on the Texan receiver, it's perfect. So that is also a problem for a radio of that price. I can't believe they couldn't make it or make a filter that would have helped with that overload. Now, that said, because the external antenna input isn't used in FM, when you have an external antenna, that problem goes away because you only amplify shortwave signals, not anything else. So on external antennas, it works good. But there is a weird stutter when you have external antennas. When I put my ML830, there's some overloading of some signals sometimes, especially 49 meter band at night here with strong US stations. And it creates that weird stutter where the station is audible and then kind of drops off for a few seconds and comes back. So that's one thing. If you have a lot of strong signals, it could overload. But overall, it still works pretty well. We can give the award to the crappiest feature in a shortwave portable to it with something that they added called automatic bandwidth control. The radio comes with that switch on. And the first thing that you notice when you listen is, why the hell is listening so bad? Because it automatically switches the bandwidth on AM depending on the strength of the signal. So you can have the bandwidth, you know, like wide, your signal fades, it'll actually switch to a narrower bandwidth. But the process where it does that is so bad that actually you want to turn this thing off and never turn it on again. That's for sure. So that is the most annoying feature. Unfortunately, I don't know why they did that, because it's really, really a bad feature. When you purchase it, be aware that there's a firmware version. There's the version that the original radio came with was 070 that you can actually see when you press the enter key while the radio is off. There's a upgraded version now, 073. I don't know if they'll have more, but it's worth asking before buying. Is it the latest firmware? It fixes a few bugs in the radio. And if you do have the original one, 070, what you can do is contact St. Gian for free. They will give you the instructions on how to send the radio to St. Gian. They'll send it back and they will upgrade the firmware version for free. So that's at least a good service there out of St. Gian. It's available at many different places around the internet, so you can buy it on Amazon. I know that the one I have comes from a ham radio outlet in the U.S. Here in Canada, I noticed that Radio World in Toronto also carries the St. Gian ATS-909X2. Overall, it's not that it's a bad radio, but for the price, a lot of the shortcomings make it kind of a deal breaker, and personally, I would still purchase a Texan PL-990X. Rather than that radio, honestly.
You wonder in the design of these radios if the people doing the designs actually use radios or not, because some of the things just don't make sense, like you said.
That variable bandwidth thing, I don't know what came through their mind. They thought that would be good. It's not.
Well, we'll post a link to the radio itself on our Facebook page. And Gilles, do you have some videos about this up on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, I have several videos showing its performance, listening to stations, tuning around the amateur bands. One little negative thing that I didn't talk about in single sideband, it's off frequency a little bit. Worse in lower sideband and upper sideband, but I've seen some people actually post that it's off up to 1 kilohertz sometimes. So be aware of that. That also is something I have a hard time with, a radio of that price being off. And, you know, unlike the Texan, no calibration feature. You can't fix it.
All right. Well, we'll put up the information for you, and do go to Gilles' YouTube channel, the official SWL channel on YouTube, and look for the videos about the radio as well. Yep. She'll give you some more info and visuals of it that you can actually take a look at it there as well.
And for a very quick tidbit on a new Texan receiver, some of you have been asking, when is it coming out? Well, it's officially being released this Sunday, May 16th, so you can order it as of today. The new Texan H501X high-end receiver is out today, $298 on Anonco, A-N-O-N-C-O, where you can actually purchase it starting today, the export version. So a brand new radio, and I'll be testing it, so I'll probably be talking about it here in a couple of weeks.
All right, so we move on to our final item today, and that is upcoming ham radio contests. And I have to drop the S on contests this week because we only have one for a change. Normally we have a lot of them. This is a bit of a quiet weekend. We have the Baltic contest. It's at 2100 Zulu May 22nd to 0200 Zulu May 23rd. It's sponsored by the Lithuanian Radio Sports Federation. The Federation has the honor to invite radio amateurs all over the world to enter its 57th Baltic Contest for 2021. The aim is to promote radio sport in the Baltic states and to expand relations among radio amateurs of the Baltic and the world. The object is to establish as many contacts as possible with amateur radio stations worldwide, but it is only 80 meter band. Yeah. It is CW between 3510 and 3600 kilohertz and SSB 3600 to 3750 kilohertz. So that's very precise, small frequency range, and only one band, which doesn't happen a whole lot with contests.
No.
But at least it's CW and SSB, and you can check for some of those Baltic states to see how you can make out. We'll put a link to the contest and the rules for it up on the Facebook page as well.
And we're already at this moment where we have to say goodbye.
That comes every week at this time. 30 minutes goes by quickly, and we do thank you for tuning in with us each week. You can check out the show again on the CKUT archives or on our YouTube channel, International Radio Report. Thanks for tuning in. We'll do it all again next Sunday with the next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
CKUT, les vibrations de la communauté. CKUT FM 90.3.
Attention, the Detroit Zoo will open in 5 minutes.
5 minutes, please, just 5 minutes.
My lines, I can't remember my lines ever.
Hey, this place is a zoo.
Visit the Detroit Zoo and see how the stars live.
You got to look at this shit from the tiger's motherfucking viewpoint. First of all, this ain't no fake ass got it at the mall tiger. This a real fucking tiger. And every day they got this real fucking tiger in a fake ass habitat. Real fucking tiger, fake ass habitat.
Ross Nation.
And the tiger not supposed to know that's a real tiger.